RadioInfluence.com.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
Welcome in. It is Tuesday, December 3rd. Is it December already? Of course it is. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Where is this season gone? December 3rd. Yes. So hope you again had a great Thanksgiving weekend with your family. You traveled. Hope everything was safe and you're back to a routine. And before you know it, it'll be Christmas. But we've got football to talk about. And we had an incredible weekend of rivalry games. We're heading towards conference championship weekend. In college football and the NFL, we're headed towards a stretch run, the last 4 weeks of the season. So a lot to get to. Reminder that at LandryFootball.com, you can get all the film room breakdowns, all the games, what happened, why it happened, what we expect to happen, from, you know, soup to nuts, everything football. We've got a in-season, still an in-season discount, take advantage of 50% off. Certainly want to take advantage of that opportunity to set something up for the rest of the season, for recruiting, for the draft, for free agency, all the way through next year at this time. So great opportunity, great, makes a great gift during this holiday season. So please take advantage of that. We I want to get into a couple of things as we are deep into coaching searches, staff evaluations, as we're at the end of the season in college. And we've got a little bit of time left to go in the NFL, but they're going to go through that same process. I thought it would be interesting to kind of go through the process of how you determine whether you want to make staff changes or not. Those things I think are really intriguing, and how you go about doing it and whether you know you're doing the right thing or not. And the panic sets in. Well, we hadn't won enough games. There better be some changes, by God. And while sometimes that's the right thing to do, sometimes that is the wrong thing to do. We're going to get in all of that. Want to thank our folks at Radio Influence for bringing you this podcast every week. And a reminder, if you want to become involved in this podcast, send me a note over at LandryFootball.com. Hit contact Chris, and I'll get you in touch with the folks at Radio Influence about how to make you a part of this. If we can promote your business, if you feel you're the right fit, we definitely want to speak with you. It is the time of year in college football where the seasons are coming to an end, and obviously the ones that are continuing on to potential playoffs and certainly major bowl games, things are rosy, or at least in good stead. In other cases where you're making bowl games that at the lesser level, again, things are going pretty well. In other cases, maybe where you're making a bowl game, but you're underachieving, or you didn't make a bowl game, there's a lot of frustration, a lot of consternation about where the program is, dissatisfied with the head coach. And what do we normally see? Well, things don't work well, and it's 2-3 years into the tenure, going to have to make some staff changes. That's how we're going to fix it, right? And look, it's not as easy in today's world. The pressure from in college football, from the what I call the outsiders that consider themselves insiders. In essence, they donate money to the program that allows for things to allow for you to have nice things, as I like to say. They become involved, and there's a lot of pressure on upper administration, pressure on board of supervisors or board of regents, whatever they're called at each institution. The president, the chancellor, the athletic director, they all hear about it, and they have a say-so to some degree into where the program is, where the program is headed, and, you know, what should be done to fix it. And that's always very dangerous. But what you have to do as a coach, and I think a good administrator, is has to assist in A, assessing who you've hired. Perhaps it's the original staff. Perhaps it's somebody you've added on. You have to have a criteria. I don't believe in just doing things based on instinct. Let your instinct guide you one direction. Certainly document that. But I like to evaluate it out. And this is where, when I was a coach, I relied more on instinctive qualities. As a scout, I try to make sure that my instincts are matched by empirical evaluation, and my evaluation really matches what I want, and I'm not just being emotional in a decision. For example, we tend to overrate a player or a team in the most recent environment. He looked great, he looked bad. That's going to define him. Same thing with a team. You can't do that. You have to do it with more of an even keel. So what I always did is, in any position, head coach, assistant coach, scout, personnel director, general manager, you know, as well as players, there's critical factors that you must decide. What are we looking for in an offensive line coach, an offensive coordinator, a head coach? You've got to make that list. You've got to literally write it down. And there's no limit. You don't have to fit it into a 15-piece criteria or a 10 or a 20. What are the most important qualities? And then list them and rank them. Which one's most important? Which, you know, they're all important, but if, let's say you've got 20 categories, they're all important, but which one or one in number two, and which one's number 20? I think you have to meet on it. I think you have to discuss it. I think the people that are involved need to be involved with the evaluation part of that. I think you need to, depending upon your experience level as a head coach, should sit there and maybe meet with other mentors that you have in coaching, but it may differ a little bit in terms of priority and even the criteria because of what you're teaching, how you're teaching it, and what you believe in. Whatever the case may be, you must have that critical factor evaluation form. And what you do in any candidate, you must thoroughly research every one of those areas. And you need to do an exercise for yourself. It's like exercising on the bike or a jog or a workout. You must do the mental exercise of, in each category, in each block, you must write in verbiage, describe what makes that person good or not good in that area. You've got to grade them, and you do it by describing that particular critical factor. Critical factor one. Describe his teaching ability on the board. Describe his understanding of a certain style or scheme. Describe his ability to adjust, think through, be creative. Whatever the critical factors are, you must describe his skill in writing. And then you must assign a numerical grade to it. You must do both. Because very often we talk, oh, this guy's really good at this. Then you go back and, okay, now put a number on it. Well, what numbers do you put? Well, very simple. Those of you that are familiar with the grading criteria that I use, it is used consistently in this regard. 7.4 to 7.0 is somebody that's super elite to outstanding. So if he's teaching defensive line technique, is he a 7.4? Is he a 7.0? Is he a 6.9 to 6.5, which is great to very good? Is he 6.4 to 6.0, which is good to above average? Is he 5.9 to 5.5, slightly above average to average? Then is he slightly below average to below average, 5.4 to 5.0? Poor or reject, 4.9 to 4.5. You must put a great numerical grade, and you must describe what makes him that. That's important to know. It's important to understand. You can catch yourself. you may instinctively think that somebody fits into one of those categories, but then you write them up different. Well, then what's wrong? You've contradicted yourself. Go back and figure out, did you misgrade him, misevaluate him, and you put wrong verbiage in? Or did you describe him correctly, but then you think about it, you know what? He's not as good as I thought. Oftentimes when people speak, they tend to want to not go back on their thoughts because it makes you seem a little weak if you made a mistake, right? Well, this is where you do the exercise yourself. And anybody else that's on the decision-making process needs to do this exercise themselves. Then come together with all of your homework and then discuss it. And then put a organizational grade in numbers. So when you grade, let's say, the 20 different categories, you put a number by each and you're comfortable with it. Well, now you've decided this is the most important, number 1 to 20. Well, then what you do is you take the number that you gave in that critical factor and multiply it times 20 because it's the most important factor, critical factor, correct? Then the second, you take the number, multiply it by 19. Third, 18, so on and so forth, down to the 20th category, which is important, but you multiply it times 1. Then you add up the numbers. And the numbers, then you can give the overall number grade and compare it to another candidate. Folks, this is a good way to do anything. If you're hiring any coach, any administrator, if you're hiring a salesperson, someone in your office, you make up the critical factors, which are important, and you grade them accordingly. And if you do that, it's a good way to check your, hey, have you researched enough? Sometimes you say, I can't come up with the critical factors. Well, if you haven't come up with the critical factors, then you haven't put enough attention or focus on what you want from that position. And that can become a problem. So just by doing this, make sure that you're doing your homework as someone is in the hiring process. Make sure that you're doing your homework on what you truly want and not just flying by the seat of your pants. So if nothing else, if you go through the exercise of deciding what are the critical factors, and it may only be 5 or 6, whatever, you have to decide that as you're the hiring person. So once you decide that, you've gone through an exercise that you've already gone deeper than you thought, then it begins with greater clarity to figure out, you know what, this is the guy that's better fit for the job or the gal that's fit for the job, whatever the case may be. And what you have to do is you have to do that with current staff. You have to do it with people that you're evaluating. Now, people on your current staff, you have to give a staff evaluation, a personnel evaluation of each assistant and the job that they've done. What can they do better? You have to decide, are you hitting your marks? Are your grades high enough in each different critical factor grade as a coach? Are you hitting them? If you're not, why? What can you do to get them better? What work can you give them in the off season that could help them become better in one of those areas, whatever it may be? Spending time with somebody you know in the profession that's really good at that particular coaching criteria and get them the help. And if you have a type of relationship to where you can go and learn and get better. Sometimes the answer is, oh, these guys are awful, got to get rid of them. Sometimes they're really good and they're really hard workers and they've not been evaluated correctly. They've not been directed correctly. And sometimes the ability, just like a player can get better and often does and should, coaches should constantly get better. Coaches who have big egos and are not trying to learn every year become exposed over time. The ones that are constantly trying to learn and grow and develop themselves are the ones that are best capable of learning, developing, and growing their assistants. So this is really important. Now, with that said, you're evaluating these coaches on your staff. Have you done enough to get them in the right direction? You have to be strong enough to say, look, these are the right guys. This is where they've been weak. This is what you're telling your administration. But I have to do a better job. It's not their fault. And you have to stand up. Most coaches will say, look, we're not getting it done at this position, that position. We got to make that change. Well, you make that change, and maybe that is the right move. You better evaluate it correctly. You better make sure that it's not just cosmetic changes. We're making that changes. It buys time. A lot of time what you have is administration says, look, I can sell you on keeping your job if you make staff changes. Well, You make staff changes, and it's maybe not for the good. You maybe had a better chance of winning the next year or two if you stayed with the people that you had and you did a better job of cultivating what it is they do. So how do you know? Do you stay with what you have or make the move? Well, I always go back to pace versus path. And are you on the right path to achieving in all of those critical factor areas where you want to be? If you are and the pace is not quick enough, then what can you do to speed up the pace so that you can get it going? If you're on the wrong path and they're not teachable, they're not coachable, you can't coach the coaches because they're not coachable, they're on the wrong path, then that's when you need to make a move. And you need to hire better. Because if you don't hire better, then what happens is you've just made cosmetic changes. You've disrupted any level of continuity. And sometimes a lesser guy with more continuity is better than somebody that is just maybe a tad better, but the continuity is not there. You've got to make substantive changes, and you've got to find the right fits. LSU with Joe Brady, big example. Right fit, but it also fits with the quarterback. Is it going to be as good of a long-range fit as a short-term fit? Don't know. But to this point, it's been a perfect marriage in that regard. So the evaluation process is really critical in determining whether you have the right guys, they're the right fit, the right personalities, or do they work together. All those things are really important in evaluating personality. So fixing that problem is key. Continuity is really important, but you have to have the right guys for continuity to be a factor. You know, continuity with the wrong guys is not the right continuity you're looking for. One of the things that has been a strength of somebody like Nick Saban at the college level is hiring assistants and developing them. So if the guy is not the most knowledgeable but is the most trainable, the priority for each position coach might be a little bit different than others. So you've got somebody who's come from one side of the ball and he has a little bit more of a stamp on what's going to be done on that side, whereas the offensive side, he may know what he wants, but he has less of an understanding of how to get it there as he does maybe on the other side of the ball. It may shift a little bit of the priority of the critical factors. In Saban's case, he hasn't done a very good job. He can no longer, at this stage, kind of trust some of the assistants that he has, not from a character standpoint or a loyalty standpoint, but when you have so many changes on your staff and you're trying to teach it and you're trying to recruit and handle other aspects of your operation, it can bring a level of continuity that is not conducive to ultimate success. And it can create a problem for, you know, if you don't have the right people, you want continuity. But as I said, before continuity becomes the important factor of have you identified the right folks. And if you're lacking in that, you got a problem. It affects your ability to coach. It affects your ability to kind of manage everything. And then all of a sudden, you become a little bit too involved in maybe some of the minutiae of play calling and game planning, and maybe not as much in tune to some other things that may be really important in your development and growth as a team. And I think that's contributed to some of the problems, some of the recruiting issues, some of the developmental issues. You know, there are other issues that are going on, but from a coaching standpoint, he just hasn't done as good a job of hiring guys that have the qualities that he's looking for as he has in the past. Now, why is that? Well, part of it is he's tough to work for, and that's something that's always a factor. People want to come in and work there because they want to work there so they can move on and get a better opportunity for themselves, which is understandable, but again, not conducive to the continuity factor. So you get a good one, he leaves and moves on. You get someone that's not as good, you leave and he moves on because you get rid of him. So you have a negative deleterious effect of cycle of getting worse and worse. And I think we're seeing some of that in what's happened with Saban. Now, it's not like a disaster. I mean, they're 10-2, and they're still really good, and fixing it is doable. But to the standard of perfection. It's not as perfect as it has been before. Maybe never been perfect, but certainly much more of a challenge than it's ever been. You know, as you kind of look through some of this stuff and you evaluate it, it is something that's a factor when it comes to evaluating. It's a factor when it comes to developing. But it's like evaluation of players, development of players. Coaching is the same thing. Lack of continuity is going to affect in what you teach. How do you teach it? You know, you can teach the same thing, but if you got two different teachers, getting the point across can be different. It can be challenging. Recruiting and, you know, how you're able to develop relationships on the recruiting trail becomes a factor. It may make a difference in a relationship that could determine whether you get a guy or not. Complicated factors and coaching hires in college are a little bit more complex because you've got some limitations. One, and I know you got a lot of analysts that you can put in roles, but on-field coaching, you've got limitations more so than in the NFL. And coaches in college are your recruiters. You can have other people evaluate film, but you are responsible for recruiting and selling your program to those kids. Whereas in the NFL, it is less about evaluating because you've got a staff that's going out and scouting these guys. And if your scouting staff is really good, you don't need to be a great evaluator to be as good. You're not as reliant upon it. Let me say this again. I think it's important to be a good evaluator as a pro coach, because I think you need to set the standard for what you're looking for in your critical factors at each position. I think you need to be able to look at guys across the country and say, this guy fits, this guy doesn't, and have the gumption to say, this is what we need to do and how we need to do it. And this guy may be a little tougher to coach, but it's the best fit for in the long end. This guy can be as good as the guy that we have that we're paying three times the money to, and he can be that good by middle of this season. Important to be really good evaluators, but in some ways it's different. Whereas, you know, they're not out there scouting college players. It's your scouting staff doing that. Now, different scouting staff, more and more today, scouts in the NFL, more information gatherers and less evaluators than when I was doing it on a day-in, day-out basis with working for one team. We basically ran our drafts, where now they're more information gatherers. They're more of get background information, and the coach is going to make decisions. So you get guys like a Mayock in Oakland with Gruden. Gruden's going to make all the personnel decisions. Somebody's going to get all the information for you. John Lynch for Kyle Shanahan, same thing. We're seeing that more and more. So I think coaches play a vital role in evaluation, but in the NFL, it's important, but they're not recruiting guys necessarily. I do think it helps in the recruiting sense to be able to get guys in free agency to come. But again, that's mostly going to be tied to money and not being able to sell them on an idea, although selling them on an idea of how they fit in the scheme is certainly a help. So I think those things are really important in the process of evaluating and determining where you need to go with your staff. But we're seeing an awful lot of that. Coaches getting fired from the head coach position. Assistant coaches getting fired when the head coach is in trouble and they're moving on and trying to make, quote unquote, some changes, cosmetic or otherwise, and the ability to make correct decisions in those regards will determine, obviously, the future of the head coach. So really important to understand, are you on the right path, are you not, and you've got to be able to document it. And I always tell administrators and coaches, it's your job to create your form of critical factors in each position on your staff, how you evaluate players, everything. And you need to do your homework to make sure that you're just not going with a gut feeling. Have your gut feeling, but to me, I want to have the substantive homework and evaluation that's going to prevent me from making a gut decision that's going to cost people careers. There's no foolproof system. Anytime you have human beings evaluating human beings, you're going to have mistakes made. So the people that sit there and criticize this draft pick or this hire. They've never done it. Okay, and they have no clue. And if you listen to the wish list of a lot of fans and what they think, some of the dumbest thoughts that you'll ever have. Nothing creates more ignorance than a coaching search combined with modern-day Twitter. It brings out more ignorant thoughts, and it exposes people who truly don't know anything about what's going on or anything about the process or anything about what it takes to be successful or know anything about why your program is struggling. And this is the main reason why, because when that pressure is not just some guy on social media, but it's somebody that writes big checks becomes involved. This is why you got certain programs go from one bad hire to another bad hire to another bad hire. And yes, it is very often an administrative screw up, no doubt, but that sometimes the administrator is kind of put into a situation where he has to make certain decisions. And when you make those decisions, maybe in a pressurized way, it's not the best, but it's on your record, and therein lies some of the problem. Look, it's tough enough to make the decision and get it correct when everybody's on the same page. When you've got divisiveness, you're going to have a hard time having the type of success that you need. So keep that in mind. I want to get into a little bit on Thursday about closing out a coaching search. Is that something that is facing a few programs right now? Some of them are just starting, but some of them are close. And we'll take you again through the process, which we've done a few times before, but specifically it relates to closing out a coaching search. So appreciate you joining us today. Check us out again on Thursday, and remember to check out LandryFootball.com for all the film room breakdowns, inside information on coaching searches, evaluation of games, players, teams, coaches, schemes. We got it all for you at LandryFootball.com. Got a holiday season, football season still sale going on, 50% off for 1 year. Take advantage of that offer. If you want to try it out for a month, 3 months, whatever, you've got those options as well. We appreciate you joining us. Talk to you again next time on the Landry Football Podcast, brought to you by Radio Influence.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.